We live in an age perhaps like no other, where there are so many distractions. And maybe in years gone by, distractions were there waiting for us to find them. You can find distractions wherever you look. But nowadays, distractions are trying to find us. How often does this thing ping during a day? Oh, I'll just check that, I'll just look at that. Messages from people that the vast majority of the time, it doesn't matter if we don't read it immediately. Give it 5 minutes, give it 10 minutes, give it a couple of hours. It's probably not going to be the end of the world. Apps sending us message, new content available. Does it matter if we don't see that new content today? Does it matter if we don't see that new content? So many distractions just coming up at us all the time. So this morning, I want us to look at a practice, they're becoming a community of communion with God in a culture of distraction and escapism. So many distractions in the world around us, and yet we need to be intentional about that sense of communion, sense of time with God. Will you turn with me to Luke chapter 10? We'll start there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that as we read it, you would speak to us, that you would help us to hear what you want to say to us. Lord, we want to have open hearts to let your word challenge us. And Lord, I thank you that when you challenge us, when you convict us, it's not to condemn us, but to give us an opportunity to receive your grace. That you come alongside us through the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to walk towards you. Heavenly Father, would you help us? Now we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away from her." Distraction is nothing new. Martha was busy getting the meal ready, getting the place prepared and appropriate for having guests. After all, here was an important guest. She was busy getting everything just right. And Mary was just sitting, watching Jesus, looking at him, listening to him. Did the things that Martha was doing need to be done? I guess it depends on your definition of need, doesn't it? Did the food need to be prepared? Well, yes, the food needed to be prepared if they were going to eat it, but what was more important? They didn't need to eat there and then. They didn't need to whatever. Mary just spent time in the presence of Jesus. Keep your finger in that page, and we're just going to do a quick review. We've been talking a lot over the last year about being apprentices of Jesus. How that we need to spend time with him so that we become like him. And in becoming like him, we can do the things that he would do. How do we get transformed in his presence? We've referred time and time again to that verse in Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What transforms us? The things we do transform us. The people we keep company with. They change us. They rub off on us. The narratives that we listen to, the stories, the teachings that we hear, they all rub off on us and they change us. They change the way we think. Through all of those, the Holy Spirit works. And over time, we are changed to be whatever those things are that are around us. And suffering changes us as well. Through hardship, we learn lessons that we wouldn't otherwise learn. So this morning, we're going to talk about being transformed to be like Jesus through the practice of prayer. What is prayer? Let's start there. What is prayer? What do we mean by prayer? Essentially, prayer is what we call our communication with God. In whatever way we communicate with him, that's essentially prayer. But in the context of a practice of prayer, in that context, we're talking about a practice of actually setting aside time to be with God. The practice of setting aside those things that easily keep us busy, that easily keep us distracted, things that may well be necessary, things that are important, that we cease to be quite so much like Martha, and that like Mary, we set aside time to be with Jesus. When we're talking about prayer, so this morning we'll look at three aspects. Talking to God, talking with God, and ultimately being with God. So those are the kind of the three areas we're going to look at this morning. Let's go back to Luke. And following on from that, Luke chapter 11, we read about Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks on the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's interesting, right at the beginning there, that I think this is the only time the disciples ask Jesus to teach them something. Teach us to pray. This is the only time the disciples said, teach us to do something. If you flick back a page, Jesus has sent them out, beginning of chapter 10. He sent them out to go and preach the kingdom. He sent them out. It says, verse 17, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. We have no record of them asking him, Lord, teach us to cast out demons, teach us to heal the sick, teach us to do whatever miracles. But they see him praying and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Because what does that say? Where I'm at the moment, my prayer life isn't cutting it. There's something that you get out of prayer that I don't. So Jesus goes on to say, when you pray, say. When you pray, effectively, recite these words. And we notice at the start there, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Matthew, in his gospel, gives a slightly fuller, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father. Right at the outset, Jesus is setting the orientation for our prayer. I'm told that nowhere else in Jewish literature is God addressed as Father. In the Aramaic, Abba would have been the spoken language of the day. Abba, Daddy. It's not a formal address. It's a personal, it's a close one, like a young child to their father. He says, orient yourselves this way. This is how we come to God. God is Father. Now, I realize that some people will have had bad experiences of a father on earth. We cannot allow that image to be put on our Heavenly Father. Part of our walk with Jesus is learning to have our hurts healed and to see the truth. Learning to see God as he really is. Because the fallen world in which we live would disfigure and deface his image. But we can come to know, whatever our experience, we can come to know God as our perfect Heavenly Father. And that's how he wants us to come to him as a loving father. In Matthew, he talks about our Father who is in heaven. The Greek word there is around the plural, is the heavens. In a sense, the atmosphere around us. God is all around us. He's closer to us. He's in the air we breathe. He's completely surrounding us. He's not a far off, distant God. He's in the very air around us. He's close. He says, when you pray, say these words. It's a very clear, simple thing for us to recite. And there's nothing wrong with using other people's words when we pray. So long as we bring our heart and soul to the words that we're speaking. If it just becomes some rote thing that we recite mindlessly without even thinking about it, what does that mean? Nothing. We can use the Lord's Prayer, we can use the Psalms, other scriptures, songs that we have, other words that people have written can express our heart to God. Yes, they can be recited as is, or we can use them like a pattern that says, this is the form. I'm just going to dwell on the fact that God is my Father and thank Him for that. I'm going to dwell that He's my Father in heaven, that He's around me, that He's almighty, He sees all, He knows all. Dwelling on that and take time to go through. But just like a child, we've all seen a child learning to speak. Probably most of you have sat in front of a small child making stupid noises, trying to get them to copy you, to repeat the sounds that you're making. And those silly noises slowly become words. And we get them to repeat the words. In a sense, that's what learning to pray is like. We could start off with a pattern here that Jesus has given us. Because He's teaching them, this is how to pray. These are the words you use. And like a child starts to learn to use words, but if they only ever stop at repeating the words that someone else gives them, that's concerning. It's like that when we go, in a sense, from talking to God to talking with God. With a small child, we'll start to ask them simple questions and they can then respond to us. And we can respond to that. They need to learn the words. And then we use those words. We put our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own heart, our own intellect into it and respond. We want to be able to express our own thoughts and convey our own ideas. Let's have a look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. As Jesus was praying, verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. It's difficult to have a sense of oneness with somebody when all they do is repeat back to you what you've said to them. That sense of oneness grows as relationship develops, as relationship grows. You start off as acquaintances, exchanging pleasantries. And the more time you spend together talking and getting to know each other, so that grows. And you move from being merely acquaintances to becoming friends. And Jesus is saying, I want them all to become one together, one with us, the Godhead. Do we need to express our hearts to God? Psalm 139, verse 1. For you have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. God knows what I'm going to say. Do I need to say it? Some of you will have a relationship, have had relationships where people say, I knew you were going to say that. But we say it nonetheless. Just because we know what someone is going to say doesn't mean that we don't say it. And it's important that we express our hearts to God. What we express, well, we can express gratitude. And I would venture to suggest that is the most important thing we can express to God in prayer. A sense of gratitude for all that He has done for us, all that He does in us, all that He does through us. Gratitude is kind of the foundation. It's the heart and soul of our relationship with Him. But we don't always only feel gratitude. You all, I'm sure, will have been through times of pain and sorrow, of heartache. And we express our laments to God. What weights are you carrying? We express those to God. And from that, we can move to asking God for things. Whether it's petition, asking God for things for ourselves, or intercession, asking God for things for others. John 14, verses 13 and 14, just a couple of excerpts here from the full. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says there, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. What does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? What does it mean to ask in someone's name? I was just mulling on this, and when Candy and I got married, my bank account changed from being solely in my name. It now has two names against it, mine and Candy's. So if Candy wants to get some money out of the bank, she doesn't go up to the teller in the bank and say, in the name of Christopher Goodchild, give me £50. Right, weirdo we got here. I'd like £50, please. And they hand over the money. We are one with Christ. So when we ask in the name of Christ, we're acknowledging we are part of His family. And being part of His family, we align ourselves with the will of our Father. We can pray, when we pray the will of God, praying in His name, pray His will, that's when we see those answers. I guess just off the back of that, can I encourage you, pray promises. Pray promises, not problems. I heard someone describing prayer, saying prayer often seems to be worrying in God's general direction. Oh, there's all these problems, God. Oh, and I'm like, okay, don't just worry in His general direction. Declare His word. Pray promises. What has God said about something? Pray that. You see, prayer is a mysterious act of spiritual defiance. We can shape the future against all the evil powers. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God gave Adam and Eve the commission to fill the earth and subdue it, to bring it into order, to keep a sense of order. When we pray, asking God, declaring His promises, asking him for change. It's part of exercising our responsibility to steward and care for the world and all that's in it. We ask God to do what only He can do. We take time to give Him the space to do in us what only He can do. Yes, there is much that we need to do, and we have responsibilities to do, but there are things that only He can do. And when we pray, we are saying, God, please, you do what only you can do. Obviously, part of that is not only that we're talking to God, but talking with God. We're speaking, but we also need to be listening. John chapter 10, verse 2. Let's just go back there. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. It takes time to learn to discern the voice of God. But it is important, it is vitally important that we do. The shepherd, I guess most of you have been past or through or near a field full of sheep. And if you try calling the sheep or walking towards the sheep, they just scatter. And yet when the shepherd comes, these creatures which are so timid and just run at the slightest thing, so skittish, when the shepherd comes, they will run towards him. The lambs don't necessarily know the shepherd's voice straight away, but they pick up from everybody else. This is the one we can trust. They learn, this is the one to trust. It's important that we take the time to learn, time in His presence to learn, to hear His voice. Yes, discernment, discerning of spirits is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to us. But there's also a sense of skill and understanding. As we know Scripture, we're able to say, does this fit in with what God says in His Word? Yea or nay? If not, it's probably not God telling me to do this thing. If it is, then maybe it is. We read there just in Luke, didn't we? About Jesus saying, if you who are a bad human father, you who sin, you know how to do good for your children, how much more does your Father in heaven? It's a skill that we need to develop, hearing God's voice. But we need a quiet and surrendered heart to hear God. And in a sense, that brings us back to what we were talking about last week with Sabbath. We need to stop. We need to rest. We need to quiet our hearts before Him. There's that sense of progression, isn't there? We talk with. But the Lord calls us on to a depth of relationship where words are hardly necessary. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We contemplate the Lord's glory. In the 1500s, Ignatius of Loyola described prayer something along the lines of, I'm looking at God looking at me, looking at God. Just that sense of looking at each other in love. I'm looking at God, loving him. God's looking at me, loving me. And we just spend that time together. We don't need to say anything or do anything. We're just enjoying being together. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You don't get that just by talking at someone. You don't get to know the measure of someone's love just by yatta, 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 yatta at them. The challenge of the practice of prayer is to set aside time, yes, to talk to God, yes, to talk with God, but ultimately to come to a point where we can just be with God. The Greek word there that talks about knowing, I pray that you may know. It's not an academic knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge, that you would experience the love of God. As we try and set aside time to pray, yes, we'll have all sorts of distractions. Ah, so frustrating, I keep getting distracted. Allow your distractions to be the benefit of another chance to come back to God. I've been distracted, I can come back to God. Been distracted, come back to God. God loves it when we come to him. As I said about Sabbath, there is so much hurry around us. We need to be intentional to make time to stop. And we'll touch on this in the future with some of the other practices, but when we stop and are quiet, fears can rise to the surface, worries and concerns. Give them to the Lord and come back to him. Give it to him and come back. Allow him to take your fears. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we're going to pray always, we need to make a habit of praying some of the time. In order to pray all of the time, we must pray some of the time. We set up a routine. We set out a habit of spending time. And out of that, we find that prayer will just become more of a habit. We will be talking to him, with him. Just enjoy his presence more and more outside of those times. I realize time is flown by, but I'll leave these up so that you can jot them down later if you need to. But are pre-written prayers part of my repertoire? Why would I want that? Maybe I'm stressed out and I can't think what to pray, but I've remembered these words. I memorized these words. Maybe I don't know how to express something and I turn to the Psalms and I find a Psalm of Lament that says, yeah, that sort of says how I'm feeling. It can be helpful. What are my greatest obstacles to prayer? What are my greatest obstacles to communicating with God? When we identify problems, we can then maybe think, what one thing can I do to grow in prayer, to overcome those obstacles?